Good morning. It's May, and this is May Day, May Day, May Day. You heard about that, didn't you? Richard Schneer was going to move to the coast, and he went down there, and he was trying out a boat. And they went out on the boat, and, boats are complicated things, and us, people from Colorado don't usually do a lot with boats. But anyway, they got out there, and he knew that things were amiss, and a storm was coming up, so he knew that he needed to call for help, so he got on the radio and he said, "Maytag, Maytag, Maytag." Sorry, Richard. By way of announcements, on the back of the bulletin, you see some of the things going on. We are into May, as you see. This morning, we will be serving communion, and we serve open communion in the United Methodist Church, open to all, welcoming all to Christ's table. If you would like the elements brought to you, remain in the pew and let the ushers know. We'll be happy to bring the elements out to you. But those of you who are ambulatory and able, we invite you to come down the center aisle, as is our normal procedure. Partake of the elements and return by the side aisles. On the back of the bulletin, Vacation Bible School, you know that's coming up. Stephanie is very busy in the middle of all that going on, and things are going swimmingly, and we're looking forward to an exciting Vacation Bible School. Are there any other announcements that we need to make for this morning as we are preparing and we are putting ourselves together? Michael, if you would come down here. Sandy Tenney has an announcement.
This is my weekly amount. Women's Society is going to meet Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Denny's restaurant at Havana and Florida. It's almost kitty corner from Costco, and it's straight across from Red Robin.
Okay, women's meeting this Saturday at what time?
10 o'clock.
Okay.
I have another announcement.
Yes, please.
I'd like to introduce to the church Ruby Munson. She's Ruby Munson. She's joining us from another Methodist church.
I have to tell you, Ruby, you're in a lot of trouble. Your daughter called and told me all about you, Ruby, so I know all your secrets now. But we welcome you from Burlington, Colorado. Other announcements for the good of the order, things that we need to be in the middle of, aware of. I don't know of anything else. Let's stand, let's wave hello to one another and prepare and turn to our call to worship.
No, as you know, remain standing for the call to worship if you're able. Brothers and sisters, sing to the Lord a new song. For the Lord has done marvelous things. The Lord has been steadfast in love and faithfulness to the faithful. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. All the earth break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Praises to the Lord. Prophets, make a joyful noise. Let the sea roar in all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the mountains and the hills sing together for joy in the presence of the Lord. Sing praises to our Lord. The Lord is true, honest judge. We are a blessed people. Please remain standing for the opening hymn, Stand By Me. It can be found, it's article hymn 512 in the main pew hymnal. Stand By Me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the Please be seated. First scripture reading comes from New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 44 to 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, James. He is not acknowledged on the back of the bulletin. James Dixon, somebody in the office who put together the bulletin forgot to even recruit a liturgist until this morning. It was me. Mea culpa. By the way, by way of prayers for the community, we continue to lift those. Takai is here. We want to just acknowledge you. Yeah. Good to have you here, brother. He said he's gotten through COVID okay, and they found your car, but they're getting it back in shape to get back to you. Stolen vehicle, that's frustrating, to no doubt. So we lift him, and we're aware of that. Carol Danielson, I don't know, where is Carol? Over there. How did your cataract surgery go, dear? Amen. She can see out of one eye. There we go. Good. So we're getting there. All right. Good, good. Larry, you also had cataract surgery this week, right? Are you looking up in the world? How intriguing. Can't read the hymnal, but you can read the screen. Well, we're glad we got it for you. We're equal opportunity reader, whatever.
Yeah, my eye's going to be a little bloodshot for a while. So, but I tell you what, isn't it marvelous what we're able to do nowadays? You know, when I was a kid, I remember some elderly people who they just slowly lost their eyesight, and that was it. And boy, look at it now. You know, we're doing things to old people like me nobody would ever thought of before. So, praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Larry. Renee.
I want to give a shout out to everyone that takes care of those gardens that we have. They are spectacular this spring.
The good gardens job. And the yards and the flowers and everything?
Good job, good job.
Yeah. Indeed, indeed. And Miss Helen went out gallivanting for a month. She went on a walkabout, but she's back, so we're glad to have all of that going on. Joy. Any other updates on? Do we have an update on Barb Stevens? Michael, have you heard anything about Barb Stevens?
I'll be back this morning. So
in the microphone, say again.
I don't know. I called yesterday and didn't get any answer, so I don't know.
Okay, so we do not have an answer there. Yeah. Okay. Jim Latow is trying to get your opinion behind you.
I got another grandson with a birthday this week. And we're throwing a party for great-granddaughter today, great-grandson today.
So who is it this?
Trevor's birthday is the 9th.
Trevor's? As when?
The 9th.
9th. Do they have cataract surgery for ears? I'm just... They go through, and never mind. We don't want to even think about that. Thank you, Trevor. Happy birthday. And today is Elias's? Elias is 10 today.
Yeah, 10 the 5th. That was yesterday, wasn't it? Or is that today? That's today.
Is today the 5th? All day? Cinco de Mayo. All right. Very good. Thank you. All right. Other concerns? I guess we're in the middle of concerns and joys. Anything else by way of prayers? Updates on people? I would like to lift prayers for a nation with freedom of speech, struggling with speeches of freedom, and the differentiation between expressing and violence and anarchy. And a nation struggling to be able to hear legitimate voices without having to endure, without having to endure destruction and defamation and pain and hurt and name calling. And we are still that nation, and we still struggle. And God bless America. I still think we're the ones with the right plan and the right directions, but we have to work at it. Amen? By way of any other concerns, anything else? We saw flooding in Texas. My brother and his wife lived in Houston, had their kids down there and lived several years. They are celebrating that they are not in Houston right now. 2 or 3 feet of water in most of the streets and in the houses. So prayers for our brothers and sisters down there and for their travails. Tornadoes, terrifying, scary. Any other concerns? By way of celebrations today, Elias having a... I have down here that tomorrow, Barbara Shaw's having a birthday. Octogenarian, 80 years young. You want to say anything? I guess she got a birthday present. You want to tell them about the birthday present?
If you insist. My daughter told me she just couldn't come this year for my birthday, which made sense because she was here last month. But Saturday morning she called me and said that UPS had left my gift in my driveway. So I went out to get the gift, and she was sitting there in a bright red Ford Mustang convertible. She came to spend the weekend with me. And take me out to eat.
All right, here's my daughter's email address. You just email her with that, would you? All right, also Monday, Phyllis Tolotau having a birthday. Lucy and Neo's wonderful daughter. Those are the only birthdays I have for this month, or for this week. Any others that we missed? Ruby, who did we miss? Hold on for the microphone.
Me, 29 years old. It's hard to believe that our youngest is that old already.
Who's this now? Which?
Jessica, the youngest child.
29. Okay. Holly? Michael?
And my daughter, Jessica, will be 38 on the 10th. I know, it's impossible. But I know she doesn't come here anymore because they live up in Thornton, but many of you know her, so just can't believe she's 38.
Holly's daughter, Jessica, 38. All right. Others, Larry.
This may be out of place, but I am totally amazed by that tapestry behind the altar. Where did that come from, and who does it belong to? It's beautiful, absolutely gorgeous.
Today is the Tongans' White Sunday. I called it White Christmas, didn't I, the last time I loved it? It's not. But White Sunday is a youth-oriented celebration of, they do the scripture, they do the song, they do everything and put it all together. And this is, you see this on the front of the pulpit and the lectern and on the wall behind is some of the things they lay out every time they use worship in here. So they set that up, and those come and go. I do not know the symbols. Takai, do you know any of the symbols on this thing? No idea at all. Okay. It just looks awfully good, right, Takai? There you go. Okay. So thank you, Larry, for noticing that and reminding me to acknowledge them. You are all invited at 1 o'clock if the preacher gets done early enough for you to go out of here and get something to eat. Others, other prayer concerns, celebrations, thanks for the good of the order. If not, let's turn to our unison prayer, read responsively. Lord God, hear our prayer. Lord, be with us as we seek to pause with you. Lord God, hear our prayer. Lord, we are easily distracted in our busy lives as summer approaches. Lord God, hear our prayer. Keep us mindful of others amidst the bounty of the spring. Lord God, hear our prayer as we gather and celebrate how blessed we are. May we be prayerfully aware of our brothers and sisters in all places. Lord God, hear our prayer. You have gifted us greatly. May we respond by being gifts to all we meet. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence and meditation in preparation for prayer. Great loving Lord, you are with us, amidst us, in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You are before us and behind us. You know all, see all, hear all, and you hear our every prayer. As we come before you, we confess the places where we have failed to be your obedient people, where we've failed to love our neighbors, where we've failed to reach out when we should have, where we fail to understand or seek to understand the journeys of those around us, where we have failed not to listen, where we have judged before we've listened and known. Lord, we ask your forgiveness. Help us forgive ourselves and to become those whom Christ calls. In this time, we celebrate the wonder of creation all around us. We celebrate all that's happening and the excitement of the season, the preparations for all of the joyous events of summer and families and picnics and gatherings, and the outrageously roaring voices of flowers and trees and plants growing and shouting your acclaim. Lord, we need your help as we continue in this journey. We need your help to be the Christians we're called to be without being a frozen people, without being a cold people, without being a judgmental people. Guide us and inspire us. Help us to know how we can use the gifts you have given us to do the work you call us to be the ones who reach out in love and care and compassion and acceptance. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray with the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Take a moment, if you will. We give you thanks for the ways that you continue to support the church. Take a moment in thoughts of how God has gifted us and how we return a portion of what we've been given.
Thank you, Ms. Shaw. Welcome back to Kai. Good seeing you always. Our second final scripture reading comes from the New Testament. The book of John can be found on page 103 in the Pew Bible. Please stand if you're able. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The word of God. It's now time to invite the young people here to participate in the video hymn. There's nothing that can.
Separate me from his love.
Bo, if you would just go to the next slide, please, and click. Maybe you have to click on the little play thing. Michael, are we up still? Don't you love technology? Shall we dance? No, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but a few people are going, oh. Anybody recognize it? It's some pretty rasty, nasty, rough and tumble bad music, isn't it? Do you know that it was only played after it was used in a wedding? It was just completely banned by the orchestra and the classical music community. It was too pop. Yeah, I know, it kind of blows our mind, doesn't it? But Strauss was just, he was not included. It was not until it was at the wedding of Emperor Franz Joseph's daughter, Archduchess Gisela Louise Maria, and Prince Leopold of Bavaria. None of you are going to remember that. But it was this wedding, and he composed it, and they played. And so, of course, then the Philharmonic had to play it. And now we look back, and this is solid classical waltz, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful stuff? How many of you wanted to get up and kind of, no. I don't want to know. I have to tell you a story. 1760, some Irish immigrants from Limerick, Ireland, came to New York City. Immigrants came into the city, and they came to an inn where they found lodging, and they were dining, eating there in the inn, and horrible things were going on. And so Barbara Heck turned to her brother, Philip Embry, and she says, Philip, stand up and preach the word to them. Cause them to cease this terrible sinning that they're doing. You know what they were doing? They were playing cards. They were playing cards. I don't want to know how many of you have played cards. We might get ourselves in trouble there. But card playing at that point in time was just sinful and terrible and horrible. And I'm thinking of people that I've heard of that are part of bridge groups and clubs and gatherings. And so what was outcast gets changed. So she wanted her brother to begin to preach. And it was the beginning of the Methodist movement in New York. It's a famous start with the three of them, Philip Embry, Paul, and Barbara Heck. Again, you won't remember any of those, but that's neither here nor. So did you know that the Roman Catholic Mass was in Latin? How many of you know Latin? How many of you know Latin? Sandy, you know Latin? Yeah, all right. So until Vatican II, when was Vatican II? Anybody know? I should have looked this up. I was going to say mid-60s, but up until that point in time, the entire Mass was in Latin, and the people did not know Latin. They didn't understand Latin, and in fact, some of the interesting phrases that we get, hocus pocus, actually comes from hearing words in the Mass preparing for communion, and this magical transmutation of the elements for communion was hocus pocus. It was magic. So that comes from the Latin. There's a little bit of trivia for you next time you're on Jeopardy. The people couldn't understand the words, but the idea that they would have the Mass in anything but Latin was abhorrent. It was just craziness. We kind of felt a smidgen of that when we moved from the King James Version of the Bible to the Revised Standard Version. Those new ways of saying, I still prefer the 23rd Psalm in the King James. Memorize it, has a flow and a feel. And so there's that sense of new things that are a challenge to us. Change is tough. Change is hard. And it's hard on us because one of the things that we do is we keep our boundaries up by knowing what is and what isn't. And so if something changes, it unsettles our universe, and we're not sure. So our first response generally is to push back and to say no to change. That's been the way for history. That's been our ancestors, and some of that was actually probably pretty healthy. But along came Jesus, and boy, did he upset the apple cart. Boy, did he mess things up. He was doing things. He was embracing strange people, strange ideas, different cultures, and different ways that the religion was in the world. You know, think about it. In Jesus' time, think about there were a lot of exclusions. They had what was called high boundary maintenance to maintain their faith, their Jewish faith, and that was probably a good and necessary thing at one point in time. But then it came time for things to change some, and Jesus began to push for inclusion. Inclusion of some incredible things. I mean, including women in the temple. I'm glad you're all here. Next Sunday would be Mother's Day. How would it be Mother's Day without any women in the sanctuary or in the temple? That would be an interesting sort of thing. Think about all of those others that were outsiders, that were ritually kept away. Gentiles and pagans, that's anybody that wasn't of the Jewish faith, that was one of the clan that was married into the, that was born and raised and or married in and went through some of the different things to help them become Jewish. Samaritans were named as outsiders to be rejected. But Carol and Larry, you two, the cataracts, as they took away your sight, you would have been excluded from the temple. The blind were not allowed in. If you were lame, you were not allowed in. If you were impotent, you were not allowed in. If you had leprosy, any form of skin disease at all, you were not allowed in the temple. And of course, there were no people of color. And Jesus pushed against all of that inclusion, an inclusion instead of changes that has brought unsettledness and change, and those walls that were so clear defined have gotten massaged around. That is not to say that Jesus welcomed in everything and everybody. He welcomed everyone, but he did. Hello? The light just came on. We're trying to figure out what does that. We have just an explanation. Those of you online watching, you've probably seen the lights changing, but we have a radio transmitter back there that transmits to the lighting controllers. I'm guessing it has to do with the cellular tower up above, or some of you that are playing on your smartphones. I don't know what's doing it. One of those mysteries of life. Huh? But Jesus named some of those things that were not acceptable, that were harmful of others. That if there were divorce was this practice where rich men would marry a woman, and then when they were tired of her, could hand her a certificate of divorce and go marry someone else. And she was used goods, cast aside. an abuse. It was an abhorrent practice. There was the use of making money off of each other in a usurious way. Jesus cleansed the temple of the money changers, as you recall. The woman caught in the act of adultery, you recall the parable. She's caught in the act. The laws are clear. She shall be taken outside of the gates and stoned to death. And Jesus said, which of you will condemn her? Which one of you is free of sin and will cast the first stone? And one by one, they all left. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Sin no more and go in peace. Not accepting what she had done as wrong, but not condemning her to death. Jesus condemned the abuse of widows and orphans and poor. We're still hung up in the abuse of people around money. And there were divisions. There were a lot of divisions when Jesus was doing this, including, excluding. Do you understand that, how that division can be painful? I am often reminded of the American Civil War. We heard of families divided over the North and South. And I can't quite imagine that pain, but this last few years ago, we had COVID, and the whole COVID event, there were some who said it was not real, and others who said it was. And some of those divisions were right down in the family. Family member against family member. It was painful. I have dear friends that I was opposed to on this issue, and it was hard to keep ourselves from being torn apart by this division. A hard division. But the division over excluding people was a hard one. And we heard a piece of that scripture. Do we have that slide from Acts 10? Bo, whatever. Oh, you've got it. Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit as we have? There was huge division about whether or not to welcome in these outsiders, these Gentiles, these pagans, these Greeks. Some of them not baptized. Some of them uncircumcised. And who should be included and who should not be included? Last week, the lectionary reading included the reading from the parable of the Ethiopian eunuch. Do we have that slide? Philip is divinely called to go and to find this Ethiopian eunuch who's in his chariot and to go to him and speak to him. So Philip goes there, and indeed he finds the Ethiopian eunuch, and he is in his chariot and he's reading. This is from Isaiah 53. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Philip says to the Ethiopian eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I without someone to help me? So Philip climbed into the chariot and preached to him, if you will, shared the good news, told him about Jesus Christ, about the lamb led to the slaughter, and about the redemption of humanity. And the man hears these words, and they're sitting in his chariot, and he looks at Philip, and he looks down, and he says, look, here is water. Here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? And they went down, and Philip baptized him in the waters. Here's an outsider, outsider, outsider. He hits three or four different classifications for reasons that he is exempt, that he is excluded, that he is an outcast from. Philip has baptized him. So I am struggling with this, and I appreciate your help over the upcoming weeks and days. I'm struggling with an idea that radical inclusiveness is always the correct direction to err. Now, as I grew up, it was the opposite way around. I was kept myself quiet, waited to see. I'm going to figure things out before I take any chances, before I take any risks, before I step into anything. But I'm beginning to think that Jesus is teaching us to be radically inclusive first and foremost. Now, I wonder about this. I see kiddos. We don't have any little ones around here now, but my kids, when they were growing up, they went through phases. Early phases of babies, they didn't care who held them or whatever. If they were rocked them and cuddled them, they didn't care. But then they got to a point where they were afraid of strangers. Anybody that they didn't recognize, that they didn't know right off, they would just have a panic attack, if you will. And that was kind of a struggle when we go to church and they didn't want to talk to or see anybody, do anything with anybody. But then there came another phase of their development when everybody was their friend. And I lost Melissa in the mall one day that way. I looked around, she was there, and then I looked around and she was not there. You ever seen a dad panic? She was fine. She'd made a lot of good friends. And she was just having a good time. Are we as humans in the midst of those developments? I don't know. This is my question, but my hypothesis is that we should be about being radically inclusive in our lives, in our world. Let's test that against things and see how it works. Part of this sermon was all written and put together until this week. Prior to the events of this week, we have experienced the United Methodist General Conference. Every 4 years, we have a gathering of United Methodists from around the world, and we work at legislation, and we write what is called the Book of Discipline. Actually, it's written, but we can edit it and change it and modify it. And this General Conference gathered, and they removed language about homosexuality from our Book of Discipline. It's a big change. It's a change that came in 1972 as exclusion, and now in 2024 has been removed back out. So we are at another place. The conference, I don't know if they chose the title or sermon around any particular issue, but isn't that what that's saying, that inclusive first, love without limits? It's a new concept. It's a tricky concept. It's a concept that was hard when Jesus brought it, and it continues to be a concept that's hard. How are we going to include women in the church? How are we going to include women clergy? Oh, my goodness. Who was your first woman pastor here? Some of you long-timers. Betty Bradford? I can't hear what Holly's saying, but she said there was somebody before Betty Bradford. Jenny Chase. Oh, she was a colleague of mine in seminary. I know Jenny. How did it feel to have a woman pastor here? The first time there was a woman pastor in the leading of the church, did it feel all right? That's a good sign. How did it feel to have the inclusion of people of color? What did you feel like the first time Neo led the pastoral prayer in Tongan? Was that the first time you'd ever had that done, listening to a worshipful part of the service in a language you don't understand? Well, Takai, you have both. You cheated. English and Tongan. But how is that, and what does inclusiveness mean, and how will it mean as we go forward? I doubt if we're all in agreement on all the issues around this, and that's okay. Because one of the things that I value about our district and about our church is our diverseness. Diversity, that's the word I was after. And we have a diversity of cultures. We have a diversity of language. We have a diversity of ethnicity. We have a diversity of ideas. And you know what? I believe that God made all that. It's like a rainbow. It's hard to do a rainbow with one color. And so here is that. Now, I have to warn you, it is easier to say no to things, and it seems to be safer to say no to things. And in fact, I lived and succeeded in my life for some time basically saying no to almost everything. It's okay to say no to some things until you understand them. That's probably safer. Kids learn stranger danger. I don't know if you're familiar with, but they are taught to beware of strangers. Unfortunately, we're in a culture where that has to be the case. So learning how to be safe, how to be a people, and how to be inclusive in the midst of that is our journey. But I do know that it is a journey that we make through Christ. That's what we heard in this commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The commandment of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let us turn to communion. I'm going to invite the communion helpers to come forward. And if you will prepare yourself, and we'll prepare the elements. Try again. There it is. The Lord called them together and said, "This is my body. Take, eat." He broke his broken for us. Do this as often as we gather in his name. The cup is the bread, is the blood of Christ shed for all. Remember Christ's blood. Remember the sacrifice made for all of us and for all of our brothers and sisters. And share this, all of you, with everyone. Amen? Been long, so long that since I've done this without Mio that I've forgotten how. I invite you to come and partake. Feast on the Lord with your hearts.
Thank you.
pray that there are none who have not been served. I pray that there are none who are left excluded. I pray that through Christ, we can offer his love. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand for our final hymn.
Our final hymn can be found in the Faith We Sing hymnal, Article 2190, up on the screen. We go from here, not just out to have lunch, which we will do, not just out to mow the lawn and enjoy the weather and eat hot dogs and root for the Rockies, and we do all of that as well, but we go out in the name of God and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit to offer Christ in all of those places to the brothers and sisters we meet there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Join hands. Let's sing our closing. God's people said, amen. Amen.